are you?
Good, how are you?
Today.
I love it.
you have a kind of a crazy boss in this.
Yeah.
You can't even get rid of her even when she goes to prison. Have you ever worked for someone that you really thought was like,
a bird brain?
Yeah.
No, it's funny. I have not had a bad boss. And if I did, maybe I'd block them out. But I really don't, knock on wood. Is this wood? Not really. I don't know that I've had a bad boss.
Okay. How would you deal with someone like her?
I'm pretty non-confrontational. I talk a big game, but in real life, if you offend me, I'll tend to just ignore it. It's when you offend my friends that I'll step up. So I'd probably put up with it for a while, but I think I would deal with it in a similar way to Claire, that I would deal with it for a long time and then hit a breaking point. I think that's fairly common, to try to give someone the benefit of the doubt. Because oftentimes very successful business people have big egos, kind of comes with the territory.
Okay, great.
Hi, Kristen. This is James Beam with Hypable.com.
Hi.
You spent a lot of time during this movie playing really straight, the concerned mom character against Melissa and outrageousness. So which side of the comedic coin do you like to play more? The energetic weirdo or the completely normal kind of person?
Oh. I adore playing the energetic weirdo, but my energetic weirdo isn't as funny as Melissa's energetic weirdo. So it depends on the situation. I think in comedy, you need certain things for the recipe to work. You can't have perfection because there's, comedy is in the imperfection and in the faults, and you always need a straight man. So I'm still a part of the joke being the straight man. I don't necessarily distinguish one to the other, one from the other.
Right.
Yeah, I enjoy both. I enjoy being the straight man, particularly against Melissa, because she is such a comedic genius and just lovely to watch work and be around.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hi, Kristen. Dan, I'm a friend.
Hi.
Have you ever had a mentor, hopefully someone better than Michelle Darnell, or been a mentor to someone?
Oh, wow. Guys, these are deep questions we're asking today. This, requires a lot of, thought. I have to open my journals. I don't know that I have actively tried to mentor anyone, but I do try to live a life that I'm proud of and could defend in a court of law. I try to make decisions with thought and respect, even when they may go against the grain. And I've had a lot of mentors in my life. More than just one person, I've had a lot of people that I've learned from. I'm lucky to know a lot of people that have adjusted with circumstances, how would I describe it? Who have been flexible with their surroundings. And I think that was my sort of most important life lesson to date, is to sort of be flexible and change when needed. Such a broad answer. I'm so sorry. So lame. Do you want to ask a different one? Because I fail. Self-Help by Kristen Bell.
In bookstores this fall. Kristen, good to see you again.
You too.
Question for you with in terms of Melissa. There are so many scenes in this film where you have to almost stand there and just take it as she is just going off delightfully so for us in the audience. Which one for you was the toughest keep the straight face for?
First of all, I would take it from Melissa anywhere, anytime, till the end of time. I love that woman so much. The hardest for me to keep a straight face was definitely the teeth whitening scene. The inception of that scene, she was shown a picture of one of her girlfriends getting it done and saw that contraption. And because she's a brilliant comedian, she filed it under something funny to use one day and remembered it and wrote this scene. And she put that thing in her mouth and she had it in for like 2 hours. I don't know how her face didn't go numb. And I had to attempt to say my lines 3 inches from her face. And it's just such a funny thing to stare at the inside of someone's mouth and down their throat. That was, and especially the dynamic of the scene. She's mostly talking to Tito and they're making fun of me and I'm trying to make my way in with the teeth whitening pen. That was definitely the hardest for me to keep a straight face. Also because when she would improv in that scene, I wouldn't know what she was saying. Because it was so mangled. I assumed it was funny because almost everything she says is. But that was I was biting the inside of my cheeks during most of those takes to try not to ruin it.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
I just want to say, first of all, I watched the movie last night and it was hilarious.
Thank you.
And comedy, though, the genre is unfortunately overwhelmingly a boys' club. So, but do you think Hollywood is starting to change wherein they want to see women in these smart, funny, and strong roles like Michelle Claire?
Yeah, and I don't... Maybe I'm just an optimist and maybe I'm too naive and I see what I want to see, but I don't necessarily think it's a boys' club anymore. I think people like Tina and Amy and Julie Louis-Dreyfus and Melissa and Amy Schumer and I think they've... And Sarah Silverman, I think those women changed the game. And in truth, personally, I can name off a lot more successful entrepreneurial comedians off the top of my head than I can male comedians. So I think that stigma stuck for a long time. I mean, I think that was the way it was for a very long time. But I think the tides have changed.
Kristen, people like yourself who succeed in the arts don't always do so well in regular world jobs. How was your experience at the regular world jobs that you've tried? Were you good particularly at anything, or was everything kind of a challenge?
I'm not creative or talented enough to be like a weirdo savant in daily life. I'm pretty normal. And I was good and average and maybe above average, I think, at each of the jobs I held because I'm a good rule follower, which is why I've transitioned into acting so well, because I take direction for a living and I sort of have always taken direction for a living. I don't instinctually buck the system unless I really feel like I should. Certain people are built like that. My husband's built like that. He bucks the system no matter what the rules are. But I'm kind of a rule follower. So I did all right. I worked at a yogurt shop. I worked at J. Crew for a while. Worked at French Connection for a while. Worked in Soho for a bit when I was in college, guys. I always did okay. I was like a very fine, average employee. I was never like the top seller, but I always kind of felt like, listen, if people want to come in and buy clothes, then they can buy clothes. I'm not going to try to, like, upsell them. Maybe they don't want the clothes, you know? They leave and their tab's too high. That's on me.
I'm wondering, how many brownies did you blow through, and do you ever want to look at a plate of brownies ever again?
I made a commitment to myself not to eat any of these brownies. I tried one, and they were delicious, and they were appealing for the first 7 days. And then by month 2, when we were using the same tray of refrigerated brownies, I was over it. They still smelled sweet, but I just couldn't do it anymore. It was like a brownie overdose. Yeah. Then we switched to the plastic ones when we have to, you know, you throw them at each other, and when they needed to be more durable, I preferred those ones. Yeah.
You have a mother of two and you have a husband. Can you imagine being a single mother?
Can I imagine it? I can try. Do I think my imagination can get as accurate about some of the struggles single moms face? Probably not. Because I am lucky to have a very hands-on husband. My mom was a single mom. And she, in my later years as an adult, has shared with me a lot of hardships that she felt and a lot of struggles she went through. And I suppose I can imagine, I know child rearing is very difficult, and it has its pros and cons, but it's very, very, very difficult. And doing it alone, I can imagine, is not always fun. You know, I give a lot of credit to single moms and single dads, to be honest. You know, I think that there's a reason that they say it takes a village, because it literally takes a village to raise someone. And I don't know how I would do it without a support system. I think single moms are superheroes, and single dads.
Did you ever do Girl Scouts and sell cookies in your childhood?
I was a brownie. I think I quit before the Girl Scouts, but I was a brownie for a couple years. So yes, I did.
And how was that experience?
It was great. I loved the brownies. I mean, they were called the brownies, so it was very appealing. But it was, it's really fun. You go on camping trips and, you know, you get to be with all your little girlfriends. And I was too small to play a lot of sports. So like it was a perfect after school activity, you know. And I think I went to a school with both boys and girls. And I think there are certain times when separating boys and girls is really healthy, because it creates a safer environment, especially when you're like an early adolescent, to talk about things that maybe you don't feel comfortable in front of the opposite sex. So those groups can be very healthy places, I think. Mine was.
Hi.
Hi.
So since we're talking about comedy here, I recently became privy to your Toto's Africa video. I'm just curious. How long did it take you to do that, and what your tour guides thought?
Oh, Medard, our wonderful tour guide. Well, we went on safari to Tanzania right before I got pregnant with my first child, and we knew that it was going to be our last vacation without children. And we went for 2 weeks. And we went in the rainy season, and there was not a single other soul checked in at the hotel on the Serengeti. We stayed at a place called Singita. And since no one else was there, the guides had nothing to do. So they would sit in the lobby all day and say, does anyone want to go out? We can take a couple of us and show you some extra cool stuff. We were like, yeah. Our guide was a lovely man named Medard, who couldn't really wrap his head around what we were doing, because I had shortlisted our music video verse by verse on little post-its to make sure we got all the coverage that we needed, and so we could cut together, obviously. And he didn't really understand it, but he really wanted to be in it. Like, we could kind of tell that he was like, well, what if you need anybody? And so that scene where he and Dax are holding up binoculars, he was in it. And then we sent it to him when we were finished. This was a couple years ago. And he said, it's great. I don't really understand it. It's very fast. I'm not sure what he meant by that, but I hope he loved it. It was really fun to make. It was really, really fun to make.
Hi. I thought the movie was hilarious. Thanks. And so Melissa's character is very self-confident, empowered. You, as a mother of two young girls, what do you think are the important qualities that parents should be, or important things parents should be doing to raise empowered and strong young females?
Well, what I'm learning as being a mom is both my kids are really different, so I don't think there's one piece of advice that works for everyone. I think some kids are born with high self-esteem, and some kids are not. Some kids are born outgoing, some kids are born introverts. So I think the most important thing is to make the advice specific for your child. Do whatever your child needs to help them blossom. And what I'm trying to do with my girls is encourage them to be unique and find what makes them unique, and let them know that if you're unique, you're irreplaceable. But if you fall in line, you're immediately just one of millions. So finding what makes you special and it's a lot more fun to walk through life like that. Whatever that is, because I don't want to attach a good or bad. Maybe, you know, being a super introverted writer or jewelry maker is what's going to make one of my kids happy. And then maybe, like, tap dancing on stage in front of millions of people is going to make the other one happy, you know? I think it really just takes all kinds.
Maria from Spain. I would like to ask you about bullying. Since that your character has been bullied a lot, so what do you think is possible to forgive a bully and just welcome
in
to the house, and
kind of
bully change?
Absolutely. I think hurt people hurt people. I think it's a cycle that never ends because we as humans are very defensive and reactive. But I believe almost everyone deserves forgiveness. Especially if their intentions have changed. I don't support bullying in the slightest, but I definitely think that forgiveness is one of the most important things you can, and one of the biggest gifts you can give anyone on the planet. I would think a reformed bully always deserves forgiveness.
Versus being a free-range parent where you kind of just let them do their own thing, you know, is it tough to kind of let go? And your kids are kind of small now, but when you think they reach the age of your daughter in this, I mean, how do you think you'll be?
Well, for me, it's less about, well, it's 50% my instincts as a mom and 50% the things that I've read. And I've read a lot of stuff that I've disregarded, and I've read a lot of books that I loved, you know, about the adverse effect of helicoptering children and how that can sort of squeeze their little spirits out. And I think that your kids can have an infinite amount of friends, but they only have two parents, ever. So as much as it's important for me to be my friends, for me to be friends with my girls, it's also important for me to be their mom. But I do favor them encouraging them to make decisions on their own as opposed to telling them how to do it. I think the human spirit thrives when you find your own way or you are choosing your solution as opposed to the solution being told to you. Then you've really never tested either one. But I want my girls to fall and fail because I want them to know what failure feels like and I want them to know what success feels like.
Hi. First of all, the movie was hilarious.
Thank
you. I love your character very much. And I wanted to ask you about if there's a specialty. You've already said that the brownies, you're not like a big brownie person, but is there a specialty in your house that you make, like cookies or anything?
Well, we don't do a lot of sugar in my house, because kids are insane on sugar, and I don't want to deal with it. Also, I'm insane on sugar, so is my husband, so we all try to steer clear of it, as delicious as it is. I bake a lot of zucchini muffins, and it's sad but true, the zucchini muffins are my bargaining chip for both my girls. They are the currency of the household. I feel good about it because I'm slopping in some vegetables, I'm sliding in some vegetables, but they're, you know, there's brown sugar in them, they're delicious, and it's how I get them to get ready in the morning. It's how I get them to cooperate because that's a great reward, and they're always into zucchini muffins. Yeah. It's a pretty good trick.
Thank you very much. That's all we have to
have. Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.